Many of the things in the Old Testament were written to help us understand things that happen in our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19, Jeremiah cries out in a way that I think all of us can relate to. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19. Listen to the words of Jeremiah. O my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you've heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. He says, I am pained in my very heart. He knew pain. Now notice the words of the psalmist in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And let's read verse 4. Psalm 55, verse 4. It's considered to be one of David's. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. David certainly knew the experience of pain and suffering. All of us have experienced pain and suffering. We know how it feels. We can relate to Jeremiah. We can relate to David. We can relate to those others in the Old Testament and the New who express this pain and this suffering. But why? Why is there pain and suffering? And probably more than any other reason or excuse, this is what people will say is the reason they don't believe in God. They say, if pain and suffering exist in the world, then why does God allow it? If God is all-powerful, then He ought to be able to get rid of pain and suffering. But there's pain and suffering in the world, therefore He's not all-powerful. And so their argument goes. And so many people in the world simply do not believe in God because there is pain in the world, because there's suffering in the world. And so, how is a Christian to respond? We've experienced pain, we've experienced suffering, so being a Christian doesn't exclude us from experiencing extreme pain and extreme suffering. So when people tell us, well, I don't believe in God because there is pain and suffering, how should we respond? Where did pain and suffering come from? When did it originate? And how should we respond to it when pain and suffering comes to us or when pain and suffering comes to those to whom we know? The first thing we want to look at tonight is the very beginning of the Bible, which informs us that suffering has not always existed. Suffering has not always existed. God did not bring suffering into the world. When we read Genesis chapters 1 and 2, which describe to us the beginning of the world, the creation of the world, creation of the universe, the creation of plant life and animal life, and the creation of human life, we see in those verses over and over and over again, after God created, what did He say? It was good. After He created the world, it was good. After He created the planets and all that, it was good. After He planted earth, it was good. After He created plant life, it was good. So over and over again, He uses that expression. In Genesis chapter 1, notice what verse 31 says about creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God did not bring pain and suffering into the world. Everything that He made, He said and He pronounced it being good. Goodness is part of who God is. In other words, that's a part of His character. That's one of His qualities. That's part of who He is He is a good God. The psalmist mentions this in Psalms 145. Actually, a lot of this psalm is about God's goodness, but in particular, look at verse 7. Psalm 145, Beginning in verse 7. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 7. And notice how goodness is a part of who God is. Verse 7 of Psalm 145. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God is a God of goodness. So we cannot blame God for evil and suffering in the world. He didn't originate it. He didn't create it. The original creation, including man, was declared good. Everything was declared good. So when we are in contact with people and they talk about, you know, pain and suffering and so forth, we need to say that the Bible is very clear that God did not bring evil and suffering and pain into the world. What he made was very good. So it did not originate, he did not create those things. So what did? And why is there so much evil and pain and suffering in the world? Well, again, the Bible answers that question for us very clearly in the very next chapter. You know, Genesis 1 and 2 talk about how good God is and how good the creation was. But Genesis 3 tells us about the fall of mankind. And man has been falling ever since. In Genesis chapter 3, please go back there with me. Genesis chapter 3. I know you've heard this account, and we won't read it all, but the whole chapter talks about the fall. And we know what happened. In beginning in verse 1, just to remind us of the context, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, which the Bible tells us was Satan, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And what does he do? He deceives Eve. He deceives Eve. And she sins. What happens? Then the woman does what? Gets Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit. Did Adam know better? He sure did. Did Adam do it willingly? He sure did. That's why Adam is considered to have had the greater sin throughout the Bible, not Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam rebelled. And the sin of rebellion was greater in God's eyes than the sin of being deceived. Now, notice some of the consequences of sin entering the world. Verse 16 of Genesis 3. To the woman he said, talking about the Lord God, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Well, there we see some of the consequences of sin. God didn't create pain and suffering and evil and sin, but he allowed it to happen. He gave Adam and Eve free will. And they both sinned. And as a result, he says to Eve, you will have severe pain in childbirth. Multiply sorrow. That's how bad it will be. It'll be like it's multiplied. Then what about Adam? Verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. There's some of the consequences, the pain and suffering that Adam was going to receive. Why? Because of sin. Not because God created it, but because Adam and Eve freely chose to sin. They didn't have to sin, but they did. And as a result, much pain and suffering has come into the world. But that's not all. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Those are just some of the disastrous consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. Pain and suffering entered the world. Sin of every kind, as well as physical and spiritual death. Now, none of those things were in the beginning. You talk about two people that had it made, it was Adam and Eve, more so than anybody that's ever lived since. But they did what? They chose to throw it away when they sinned. As a result, all of these things entered the world. Paul, when he writes to the church in Rome, uses this to teach about the second Adam. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. And a very important part of Romans this is. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we will begin in verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. That's very plain, isn't it, about death? Physical death and spiritual death entered the world because of sin. Because of Adam's sin in the garden. No, God didn't create it. God didn't originate it. But because of that sin, death came into the world. So again, when people say, I don't believe in God because of all the pain and suffering and death, we can go back to, well, blame Adam if you want to blame somebody. Sin entered in the garden. Death, suffering, pain entered in the garden. It was not God's plan. He didn't want man to sin, but he gave man the opportunity to sin, free will. And Adam and Eve both chose to sin. And as a result, awful, terrible consequences have entered the world. And so Paul makes this argument that death came through Adam, but the positive side is that life came through Christ. Go down to verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, talking about Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. He makes that contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, Christ. The first Adam sinned and brought death into the world. The second Adam sinned not and brought life into the world. And that's the whole idea of the second part of Romans chapter 5. So Adam and Eve, especially Adam, rebelled against God, brought sin into the world. No, it was not God who brought evil and sin and pain and suffering into the world. It was brought in by people, by humanity, by Adam and Eve in the garden. And it was all because God allowed them to make choices. He allowed them to make choices, and they made the wrong ones. Bad choices bring bad consequences. As the Bible says, you reap what you sow. And sometimes if we sow the wind, we do what? We reap the whirlwind. That is a principle that's taught from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the end of the Bible. It's that we reap what we sow. He's given us opportunities, choices to make, decisions to make. Adam and Eve's choices brought severe, tragic consequences. pain, suffering, and death. So no, it wasn't God that brought it into the world. He didn't originate it. He didn't create it. But Adam and Eve created it in that sense when they sinned in the garden. But like everything else, the Bible says God can bring good from bad. God can bring good from evil. We see that throughout the Bible. Bad things happen. People make bad decisions. But God can bring good from those bad decisions. And there are good things that can result from pain and suffering. And so again, when we're talking with people about pain and suffering, we need to bring up the point that there can be good that can come from pain and suffering. Let's look at the first one in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Most of these come from 2 Corinthians, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul uses his own life as an example of pain and suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Now, that alone tells us that good can come from bad. Paul had been given miraculous powers. He had been given special revelations. And Paul says, Christ, for my benefit, he says, for my benefit, gave me this thorn in the flesh to buffet me so that I wouldn't become proud and arrogant. Because with all of that, that might have been Paul's natural intention. So to keep that from happening, God sent pain and suffering to Paul. And we know it was painful and we know that he suffered from it. But there was good that came from it. So in his case, pain and suffering promoted humility. And maybe sometimes when we suffer pain and suffering, we can be humbled because of it. Maybe that's why we are experiencing pain and suffering. Maybe we need to be humbled for whatever reason. That was certainly the case with Paul. Paul needed to be humbled. And so he said, because of that, he says, I actually take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches. Why? Because he knew those things were good for him. The worst thing for a Christian to have is to have a life of ease. That's the worst thing that can happen to a Christian, is have a nice, easy life. Paul said, to make sure that didn't happen, God sent me a thorn in the flesh. And he said it taught him a lesson. Taught him a lesson. So good can come from bad. It taught Paul to rely on God and not to rely on Paul. Another reason is it helps us to help other people. In the same book, first chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he tells us how this can happen. How good can come from pain and suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we're afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we're comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation, And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. Which comes first, the consolation or the sufferings? He says it's the sufferings. The pain and sufferings come first, then the consolation. Paul says one of the reasons that we experience pain and suffering is so that we can minister and serve and help other people who are experiencing pain and suffering. As we're comforted, and we know how much that helps us, then what are we to do? We're to help other people. We're to comfort them in their pain and suffering. That's a marvelous thing about being in the body of Christ. When one member suffers, the whole body suffers. Or when one member rejoices, we all rejoice. What a great idea. What a great principle that is, and one that's taught by the Bible. So, experiencing pain and affliction equips us to better offer comfort to other people. Number three, pain and suffering can teach us patience. Romans chapter 5. Let's go back a few pages and we'll see this lesson. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes to that church, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now he says the love of God has been poured out. But he says that right after he says that we appreciate, we glory in afflictions and pain and suffering because it makes us a better person. Makes us a better person. That doesn't mean we look forward to pain and suffering. But it means we can be better because of it. Now, when we experience pain and suffering, again, it's up to us what we do with it. So even when pain and suffering come our way, tribulations and trials and whatever, afflictions, we have a choice as to how we're going to be affected by that. It's not automatic. We can choose for those things to make us worse instead of better, but it's our choice. It's our choice. They can make us more patient, more long-suffering. They can help us to persevere. They can give us character. They can give us hope. Or they can do just the opposite. But it's our choice. What are we going to do with it? God always gives us choices. He never forces anything on us. It's our decision. And then lastly, it prepares us for our eternal home. And you say, well, how in the world does that happen? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, substitute pain and suffering in there, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he goes on in the next part of the chapter talking about how he looks forward to be clothed with his incorruptible body. Pain and suffering occur in this physical body. In this physical body, we experience pain and suffering that started in the Garden of Eden. And men and women have experienced pain and suffering ever since the Garden of Eden, and they will until time is no more. But he says that light affliction, but even if we're afflicted for 75 years, Paul says that is such a short time compared to eternity. Even if we're afflicted 100 years, if we would happen to live that long. Even if we experience pain and suffering that long, he says, it is temporary. It's just a spot in time compared to eternity. He says, instead, we should view this as a light affliction which helps us prepare for eternity. Is that easily done? Of course not. You know, especially our society. Our society says, do everything in your power not to experience any type of pain and suffering whatsoever. Because pain and suffering is looked down upon. You know, sacrificing for your beliefs, your faith, is looked down upon as being stupid by our society. But yet the Bible says just the opposite. It's the most important thing we can do. So even though pain and suffering entered the world because of sin, the faithful will one day experience a time, a place, where pain and suffering have been completely eliminated. You might say we're coming full circle. The Bible says the tree of life is going to be where? In heaven. And in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we get this marvelous description of our heavenly abode where there's no tears, no pain, no crying, no anxiety, no death. None of that. Those former things are gone. And it's truly going to be a paradise because we're going to be in the presence of God forever. Just like Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden not to be in the presence of God anymore, the faithful who in heaven will be in His presence through eternity. So regardless of how much pain and suffering we have now, when we look at eternity, it is truly temporary, light, and will soon be gone. No, God did not create sin, evil, pain, suffering. It was brought into the world through sin, through people's choices. And as a result, physical death, spiritual death, are both a part of our existence. But just like He gave Adam and Eve choices, He gives us choices to make. We had a choice whether we were going to come to services this morning. We had a choice as to how we were going to live this afternoon. We had a choice about whether we were coming tonight. We had a choice about what we were going to use our time for. Choices. It's all about decisions and choices and how we're going to live and what we're going to do. Part of the invitation song is about choices. You know, those songs are chosen specifically because they're about choices. Making decisions about coming to Christ, about repenting of sins, about asking for forgiveness. Each choices we have to make. And so tonight, as David leads us in a song, again, it's about choices. If you need to choose to come for whatever reason, then we pray that you will as we stand and sing this song.